Welcome to the Voice of Social Sales. I'm your host, Chelsea Pites, and I am excited to meet this amazing guest for the first time. I've been watching her and stalking her on YouTube, which you're going to need to make sure you subscribe to her YouTube channel ASAP, of course, after you listen to this entire podcast. And we're going to be talking about something we've never talked about here on the show. We're talking about how to master content and specifically copywriting. And some of you may not even know there's a difference between copywriting and content writing, but we're going to dive into that today. Headlines, hooks, how to get people engaged in your captions, your stories. So my special guest today is Alex Catone. She is the founder of the Copy Posse. She's a speaker and obviously an expert copywriter. Alex, welcome to the show.
Hi, Chelsea. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm really excited that you're here because this is a topic that I personally am interested in because as I shared before we started recording, I'm writing my second book. This one's all about basically copy and not copy, but content and what to do. And as I dove into your content, you really inspired me to think about, you know, things in a different way. And I said, I have to have you on to talk about, you know, content and content writing and the real science behind it. That's what I'm impressed with you about is that you have this way of breaking things down and making it sort of very formulaic and templated, which is how I like things. So I find it really easy when somebody lays out an example. So normally we don't dive into a background story, but I kind of want to hear yours. So tell us a little bit about you and how you kind of got into this whole gig.
Absolutely. I think like many online entrepreneurs and content creators, we look back at our lives and we're like, wow, I did not expect to be here. I'm from Canada. I was living in a small town in Alberta, moved to the big city to go to university, like many people do, and was hell-bent on being a lawyer.
Was there like a specific kind of lawyer you wanted to be?
Well, no, but in my head, I just wanted to be, you know, one of those fancy women in a power suit and a nice car. And that, to me, that was like, if I get there, I have made it.
Yeah.
And my twin brother is a doctor and we come from a very academic family. So of course it was like, okay, I mean, there's five things I could be. It's an accountant, a doctor, a lawyer, you know, like I think everyone grows up with this, like these boxes in their head of what they could be. And if anyone said to me, you know, you'll be an online entrepreneur and a copywriter, I would look at them and go, what even is that? But you know, to cut to the chase, basically around my last year of university, I sort of had this nagging feeling, like, I don't think I want to go to law school, even though I was, you know, about to embark on the application process. And I had worked my butt off through university to get good enough grades to get into the law school I wanted to. And I thought, just before I go, I'm going to apply for a job overseas because I really feel like I want to travel, get that out of my system before I'm a grown up, you know? And that essentially through this sort of roundabout way led me to a company called Mind Valley, which is one of the largest personal growth publishers online. So they publish a lot of great speakers, authors, coaches, and I was this young 23-year-old girl that applied for a job and, you know, was willing to pretty much do anything. So I started doing customer service, and that was in Malaysia, by the way. So I packed my bags, moved to Malaysia with the intention of only staying there for 6 months before starting law school. And then fast forward, I was like, whoa, people can make money on the internet. I am never, ever going to law school again. And, or I'm never going to law school. I should say I didn't go. And that was sort of the rest is history. I worked for Mind Valley for 3.5 years. I left as the creative director and then started my consulting company in late 2011, early 2012 was really when I started taking on my first clients. And so, yeah, that was it. And really my first few roles were freelance copywriting. So doing exactly kind of what I'm doing now, but just on a freelance level.
So how did you get really good at it? I mean, do you just have a talent for it? Some people just have a thing for, you know, being able to create really good copy. Because for me, that is not me. That is not my thing. Right. It's like decorating. I just moved into a house and I'm like, I can't make a decision on like a knob or any of those things. So did this company that you are working for really kind of give you that foundation? Did you have sort of just a knack for it? How did you get better at it?
I think there is a little bit of both. I think, like any profession, you're called to it for a certain reason. While at Mind Valley, I actually wasn't an official copywriter. I was a business manager and was sort of a project manager, coordinating brand launches. But copywriting, I just saw as being this huge asset that we had one full-time copywriter on the team and he was such a bottleneck. And I kind of got to this point where my projects were being delayed and I thought I should just see if I can do this myself to sort of help him out. And that's sort of how I got into it. So I was really, I guess, blessed in the sense that I had a playground to play in, but I also had access to a lot of incredible courses and resources. So I think it's definitely twofold. I think, you know, I often say, and I've said this on my YouTube channel, that all you really need to be a copywriter is creativity, passion, and empathy. And what I mean by passion is, you know, like anything, you want to write about a topic you're actually interested in. And that's the advice I give to all new writers. And I'm sure you do the same with content creation. Is it can be a labor of love. And if you're not genuinely interested in what you're writing about, like, you might as well just stop now, because it's sort of this process that builds on to what you've already created, and you have to love it. And empathy is just a big part of it. And then when it comes to the formulaic process of it, those are all very learnable skills. I believe that is part of what my YouTube channel is all about, is teaching the formulaic process of copywriting. But the groundwork really comes in creativity and a passion for it and wanting to pursue that avenue.
I love that. Okay, so let's talk about what is the difference. I didn't even realize there was a difference between copywriting and is it content writing or do
yep.
you, okay, so tell yeah, us absolutely. What is the difference between those two? Because I feel like the average person who's out there trying to do social media or blogs or whatever doesn't realize it's just all content to them. So let's talk about that.
Yeah, and so I really treat content writing and copywriting as different for the sake of what I do. And of course, someone could say that copywriting fits into the content writing umbrella. But really, I look at content writing and copywriting as having three very different, three main differences. And so the first is the purpose of the piece. So when you think of content writing, the purpose is really to create conversation and build relationship. So I often think of a piece of content like a blog post. When you read it, there's links out, there's by the ways, there's little anecdotes that are embedded within the story. You can kind of go all over the place, which I don't mind at all, because it's like having a talk with a friend. It's how we talk to friends. We're like, oh my God, and by the way, did I tell you about this? And so it's very conversational, and it's led with value. So it's, you know, there's no really strategy behind it. I mean, yes, you can be strategic with your content writing, but a lot of it is just, how can I add a lot of value and talk about something that people are interested in? Whereas copy, on the other hand, the kind of core purpose of copywriting is sales. So whether it be ultimately to get someone to sign up or to get someone then to sign up and buy, it's very much sort of that business building. It's not so much of leading with value, although good copy does add value. It's just a lot more strategic in the way that it's written. And so that's the first, is sort of the purpose. Think of conversation versus conversion. The second is the goal, which is similar to purpose, but again, I like to think of the goal as being very metric based. So a good piece of content has high engagement, has high clicks, it has high comments, likes, whatever your platform is. The goal is to create the conversation. So a good metric to measure that, obviously, is looking at things like engagement rate. Whereas copy, on the other hand, the goal is very much conversion rate. So when you're looking at a landing page, you're like, oh, wow, look at that landing page converted at 70%. That is a very good high conversion rate for a landing page where you're asking people to opt in for an email address. And so that is the metric on which I measure copy versus content. And then the final difference is the direction. And I kind of hinted on this earlier, but copy is written in a very linear format where every sentence is written to get people to read the next sentence. So the headline needs to lead people into the lead-in, which needs to lead people into the problem, which needs to lead people into the solution, which needs to lead people into the offer. Whereas again, content, it can be written in that way, but it's usually more verbose, it's more conversational. Copy is very strategic and concise.
So do you need both, do you think, to be successful, to have a really successful brand and also to generate, you know, leads in some capacity? Do you think that they work together and you sort of have like the social media part is sort of like the content-y side? And then, you know, if you're doing ads or like you said, landing pages or sort of opt-in things or lead magnets, that's where the copy would come into. And you can kind of use some of your content to almost sometimes lead over into your copywriting. Would you
absolutely
connect those two there? Okay.
Absolutely. They are both so important in business. Frank Kern, who was one of my early mentors and he's a friend of mine, he talks about something called the goodwill bank account, where, you know, think of content as being a deposit in the bank account. So you're offering value, you're giving something like massively valuable. So in your case, your podcast, for me, my YouTube videos, I mean, it's all content, right? Whereas copy, because it's written for the purpose of getting a sale, it's sort of a, you know, like you're charging that bank account, you're taking a little bit out. And in order to have a successful company and business and brand online, you really need to have both. And I say this a lot, is that good content makes a copywriter's job, or if you're doing both in your business, good content makes the copywriting so much easier because you're adding so much value, you're building trust and credibility, and all of that are necessary elements to a good piece of copy. So if you already are building that in your content writing, the sale becomes so much easier when you're actually asking for something in return.
Yes, agreed. I love that. I'm writing down all these notes. I'm not even asking you my questions that I had prepared because you're giving me so many other things. Okay, we'll come back to some of this stuff. Okay, so those are the three differences between copy and content writing. We need both. They're a great complement. Copywriting becomes easier if you have good content. All right, so let's talk about, I love when you talked about the lead-ins. I wrote lead-in down. And I feel like, I mean, for me, certainly, because I'm not a copywriter, what are some tips that you have? And maybe it's a something as simple as an Instagram caption, you know, because a lot of our listeners may not be at the level where they're creating a sales funnel yet. They may not get there, but they are on Instagram. They do want people to have a longer read time. They want people to have, you know, that call to action and do something and engage.
Yep.
So how do you get better? Is there a formula for, here's my headline, let me get you down to read this, and then here, and then, you know, because they all want engagement. So the first question is what to post. The second one, how do I get more engagement? So let's talk about that.
Yeah. So one of my favorite things to talk about is sort of headlines and lead-ins because it can be the hardest thing to write, but it's the most fun in my opinion. And so I have a really, really simple formula that I use for writing headlines and I call it my hot headline formula. So H-O-T. And the point of this really is, I mean, think of Instagram, right? There's only a little bit of text that shows above the fold as people are scrolling. So before you write all this valuable content in your post, your goal is to get people to want to read more and to click on the post and see what you've got going on. And the same goes for a sales page. The same goes for a landing page. People will land on a page, see what's above the fold, and they will leave if it's not interesting to them. And so I think what happens with, and I've made this mistake too, but what happens with a lot of content writers and copywriters is they almost explain too much right away and people automatically self-select even though they might actually be your target audience. So the goal is, again, going back to that HOT formula, H stands for a hook. So really that is talking about something that it piques curiosity. You know, the easiest way to do that is to have some sort of anecdote or personalized story that people can relate to. The goal is sort of mainstream relatability. And this can be a hard thing to really nail down, but if you can really think of, okay, what is the goal of my piece of content and how can I back that up a little bit to make it more mainstream and relatable and to capture people's attention. And so it needs to have a hook. It needs to have, O stands for open loop. So this is really where you let people know that there's a solution to what you're saying that you're going to address later on. One of the simplest ways to do this, and again, you don't want to overdo it, but you'll notice this on a lot of listicle sites like BuzzFeed, is using specificity. So saying there's three things that you're doing wrong that are killing your Instagram post conversion rates. Immediately by saying that, again, talking to you as if I was speaking to your audience, Chelsea, by saying that, they go, what are the three things? Oh my God, am I doing one of those three things? So it's sort of a way to sort of say, there's more I'm gonna tell you, but you have to read in order to find out what those are. And then the final thing is target audience. And this is really making sure that although it's sort of an interesting topic using, you know, that you're addressing in the hook, you're speaking to people who are gonna actually find that interesting. And the most important thing about that is to not bait and switch, right? Because you can think of a hot hook all day long, and then people get to your content and you're like, they're like, what? This has nothing to do with me. And so that's really my way of saying, I'm all about hype and curiosity, but let's keep it, you know, let's keep it congruent and make sure that you are actually adding value and creating that bridge so that people don't feel like you're, you know, being sneaky with trying to get their attention and then not delivering.
Do you think one of the easiest ways to make a headline or that initial story or curiosity sentence more relatable to any reader would be just simply switching the I speak to like the you speak so that people can see themselves into that story themselves, like asking like, hey, have you ever type of a thing, instead of going into a I just blah, 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 or I did X, Y, and Z, that sort of thing.
Yeah. I think that works really, really well. The only time I would maybe be a bit careful with that is if the curiosity statement is entirely negative, or people feel like people kind of feel like they're being attacked a little bit. When I'm telling a story or a headline that's like just shocking, I'll make it about me, because people also love to commiserate and they love to be like, what happened to her, you know? But especially when it's benefit driven, I would say 1000% you want to talk to you, the reader. It's often said that, you know, aside from the word free, you is the most powerful word in copywriting. Mm-hmm. And so that is 1000% true. And I think there's times where, especially if you're telling a personal story, you want to, that's interesting to people, right? That you'll want to use I, but you could absolutely, you know, say, has this ever happened to you? And then switch to the I as well.
You know, it's funny, like a little side note on that. So I was doing a bunch of research on, you know, power words, and obviously you was in there, and it's something that I also use a lot. And in like trying to source and quote this like research, and you probably know about this, they basically characterize it as this Yale research study, but apparently it's not true. And I was like trying to source it. And then as I was sourcing it, they were like, yeah, that's not actually true.
That's hilarious.
But well, it's gone around the internet as like this Yale-backed research study. But yeah, regardless of who is the source, that is actually, you know.
Well, accurate. And one thing I'll add to that too, and this is very important if you're boosting any of your posts or using them for ads, is, and I'm no compliance expert, I just happen to know this, and so I would, you know, make sure that anyone who is considering using your posts for ads is to just really look into compliance, because Facebook really doesn't like it when you call out any reader, which is hard to do as a copywriter, because we are trained to talk to one specific person.
Right.
So if you are considering using storytelling or any one of these hooks for ads, it's actually you can't go wrong with telling a personal story about yourself. And that's where there's sort of a bit of this, I don't want to call it a loophole, because it's not, but you know, you can't make claims. You can't say, oh, right, I, you know, you can do this and make this much in this day, or right, lose this much weight in this amount of time. But if you're telling a personal story, like I did this, then it's, you're just telling your story, right? So there is different platforms that you have to be careful about with that languaging. So that's just something to kind of look out for.
I have heard about that, the word you in Facebook ads. I absolutely have heard of that. Okay, so that's excellent. So that's the hot headline formula, and also kind of helps with like the lead in that you're going to deliver. All right, so what do you tell people that are like, okay, I know I need to make content. Number one, can I just outsource it all? And number two, when am I going to see some returns? Because you know, you get that question all the time.
Yeah. And you know, it's tough, because to me, content is very personal. So I don't ever want to encourage anyone to outsource it. I think there's a balance. You know, if, for example, if you have a blog and you want to do a lot of SEO type content, maybe you want to outsource some of that, but that wouldn't be the content that I would be putting on my Instagram or creating a YouTube video about. You know, because really people nowadays are so, so savvy. They know what's up. And I think this is really an opportunity for content creators to stand out. And I see this in my world of direct response marketing. You know, I go to events, I run a mastermind myself, and a lot of people are looking for, okay, how do I just automate this? And how do I put this into a system and just not have to worry about it? And then my business is going to explode overnight. Unfortunately, the days of doing that are over. However, it leaves this huge opportunity for people who are genuinely passionate about what they're teaching to come in and become the voice that people trust. And, you know, not being afraid to put yourself out there, not being afraid to put yourself on video, you know, that content really is becoming the future, but it has to be in a way that's very authentic and very transparent.
Totally. That's why I love stories so much, is that I feel like that particular format for me is able to give me the most, you know, realistic experience. But yeah, I tell people all the time, I'm like, first of all, you know, in our industry, your brand isn't a house, your brand isn't a rate sheet, it's your face, and people expect to see you. And there's this, you know, huge behavioral change that's happened where the expectation is, if I don't see you and I can't find your brand, AKA your face and your content, I won't work with you, because we build trust through technology. And so it's just an interesting, So I love those questions when people say, can I just outsource it all?
Yeah.
Well, you could, but it's, if you want it done right, it'll probably be very expensive.
and listen, there are ways to outsource steps of the content creation
pieces
process.
Of it. Yes.
Yeah. Where it's just help you, like, I like to stay in my genius zone of creating the content. So I'm not editing my videos. I'm not uploading my videos. I'm where it matters, in front of the camera, you know, creating scripts. And even, you know, my team helps me research scripts and that sort of thing. So I'm making sure that I'm in the place where I'm adding the highest level of value, but getting help for a lot of the sort of automation stuff that needs to happen. And I really do think, like, just to give content creators a little bit of hope, I guess you could say, is I really feel that the future is the future entrepreneurs are these content creators, not just influencers, but you know, coaches and people who are putting in the time. Because again, from my world of direct response marketing, I'm all of a sudden having a lot of brands come to me and go, oh my gosh, you know, we were doing so well for a while. They're just sending, you know, Facebook ads to a landing page to an offer. But, you know, now I think we actually need to, like, have a brand story. And it's just never something that they really thought much about, because, you know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, the internet was very different. And now I think, like you said, people need to know that you're present and you're there and you're adding value and they can trust you.
Yeah, I really do believe that, you know, a paid strategy goes even farther when you have the organic strategy that, like, back it up, because people will see those ads and those landing pages, but then they do the social media deep dive, like the super stalk, because we can, and we have that expectation to be able to binge on, you know, 20 YouTube videos on a Sunday afternoon because I can. And so that's, yeah, I think that's really interesting. So, all right. So let's talk about some headline or hook types of, you know, like examples of formulas. And I went into the hot, like, what do you think are, like, a couple, could you give us just one or two that, like, again, for maybe social media, maybe not for, like, lead gen per se, but just to, like, grab attention, do you think it's, like, posing a question, or is it, like, I see a lot of people using emojis. How do you feel about using emojis? How do you feel about, like, all capital letters? I'm shouting at you. I don't know. Like, what, I'm just kind of going through what I see, you know, are those tricks that work, or what's the deal?
And this is, like, not a scientific answer at all, but the answer is to everything in moderation. No, because what happens is you start training people on what your content looks like. And so it's the same with subject lines. It's the same. I mean, if you have 10 emojis in every single one of your subject lines, people just start to glaze over them, right? And so it's the same with your post titles. I'm not a big fan of, like, all caps, because I do feel like it's like, oh, why are you yelling at me? And then there's really no difference between writing in all caps or writing in all lowercase, because it just becomes a pattern that people glaze over. Mm-hmm. So the goal really should be pattern interrupt. And so this is actually something that I'm starting to test myself, because I, if you look back at my YouTube videos now, you'll see that, you know, every title was just title case, you know, nothing, no caps, no emojis. But then in my recent couple of videos, I'm experimenting with adding emojis in some and putting some words in all caps, you know, really those words that you want people to, if they were to look at it quick, people are so used to just glazing over text. Right. And obviously you can't use bolding in social posts, at least not that I'm aware of.
True.
So using different ways to get that attention, but not to overdo it. And I think what the most important piece of advice I can give is really try to, and this is just sort of takes practice with copy, but make it an exciting topic. Even if, and I'll give you this perfect example. I launched a video called, this is so boring, how to speak to your target audience, customer avatar exercise.
Yes.
And my friend Sarah, who has a channel on YouTube called Wholesale Ted, and she's brilliant and she's a Kiwi, so she doesn't hold anything back. She's like, well, that's boring. And I'm like, yeah, it really is, isn't it? And of course, I was sort of like, well, that's what it is. Like, why wouldn't I just say what it is? And again, I'm a copywriter and I wasn't really applying this wisdom to my YouTube descriptions. And I realized that that was a big mistake. And so I changed the headline. And again, this is, I'm testing it right now, but I changed the headline to why you suck at selling. Try this simple exercise. And then I changed the thumbnail to why I, like the thumbnail text said, why I suck at selling. And it had sort of a photo of me kind of giving this face, like, I don't know, like kind of, you know, an emotion that kind of related to that headline. And I saw an immediate boost in my engagement because it was a little bit more mainstream. You know, in every business, people need a customer avatar to come up with who that, you know, ideal target audience is. Mm-hmm. But the way I had positioned it was so boring that, you know, my subscribers loved it because they know all of my content is valuable and I got great engagement on the video, but I wasn't getting a lot of fresh people looking at it because, let's be honest, it sounded really, really boring.
That's so funny because I was just talking about this with my other friend who is a YouTuber. And she was talking about how I said, well, how did you come up with the name of your book? Cause it's like very specific. And she's like, oh, you know, keyword research, da, da, da. I wanted to show up in like top searches and I did all my research. I'm like, well, that makes perfect sense. And so I was like, oh man, maybe I should change the title of my book, which I still haven't figured out yet. But now you're making me think, I was like, maybe I should go back to, I don't know.
If I could give you one piece of advice, I would say like F search traffic, because here's the thing. If you have an exciting topic, you're going to get more engagement and Google and YouTube and all of these search engines are changing to reward content. True. Will actually find interesting.
Sure, absolutely.
So, you know, especially with the bots and everything that are scanning your videos and content, they know what it's about. Mm-hmm. They don't need you to plug it 9 times in the title. They know what it's about. So focus on making your content more exciting and interesting versus, and I know this is a controversial topic and, you know, there's going to be people out there who disagree with me, but people who, you know, go with the exciting topics, which make it way more fun for you anyway.
Yeah, I do feel like it would be more fun for me to go, but then I was like, is that like too much? Is it too on the edge? So
Or
I'll like, send you over my ideas and be like, this is terrible. Don't do it.
Or have an exciting title and then keep your subtitle like a little bit more. Yeah. Which I often just say anyway, like the headline is about like hooking people in or the title of your book or the title of your post. And then you want to add context right away because you don't want people to feel like you're, you know, trying to just get their attention to, to dupe them or
cut people down or what have you. Yeah. Love that. Okay. So, let's talk about your storytelling formulas. Cause I talk about storytelling all the time. I'm a huge Instagram story person. So, your most recent video on YouTube was talking about storytelling. So give us your tips there.
Yeah. So, I mean, storytelling is one of the most powerful ways to create a hook. Let's be honest. I mean, there's all these other ways that you can create curiosity, but stories are endless. We all have stories. You know, we can think of times where, you know, something crazy has happened to us and maybe it had nothing to do with our business, but we're all smart. We can create a bridge or we can just tell a story and make ourselves seem more relatable and then go, okay, now moving on to something different. But storytelling is one of the easiest ways to, you know, gain credibility and trust. It's been around forever. You know, everyone loves stories. And so I have 4 storytelling and there's many, these are just 4 that I tend to go to pretty easily with my copywriting. So, one of them is, and I'm racking my brain to think what the first one is in my video, but I know there's future pacing that I do a lot, which is an NLP, technique, and I'm no NLP expert, but essentially it's talking to your audience as if they're already in the ideal future that they want to be in. So it's talking in present tense. You know, if you study the law of attraction, you know, if you speak in present tense, your brain actually can't tell the difference between a memory and something that's already happened. So you might as well, you know, talk as if it's already happened, because then your brain's actually starting to believe it.
Right.
And that's really powerful in copywriting. And in my video, I give some examples of how I use future pacing. There's another really powerful, and I came up with this name, but it's not, the technique itself isn't new. I call it the troublemaker, but it's, you know, it's all based on the premise that everybody loves trouble. So sort of going back to what I was saying is everyone loves to commiserate. There's a reason why sites like FML or dog shaming or all of those sites do so well, because people are like, oh my God, that happened to me. People love commiserating. And so, you know, don't be afraid of sharing trouble. You know, you can start a story right in the middle of trouble. We've all seen those movies, right? Where the first scene, you're like, what is going on?
How did they get here?
Right. And then the other side of that is doing the buildup where, you know, everything's a little bit too perfect and you're like, oh, something's coming. Yep. Right? So the troublemaker is a really big one. Oh my gosh. Now I'm trying to remember the other two. There's future pacing, the troublemaker. Do you remember?
I might have to I'll look it up right now. Let's see. Is it in your notes there on your YouTube?
You know what? Here it is. This is the most obvious one. That's probably why I skipped over it. The hero's journey. So the hero's journey.
Of course. Yeah.
The hero's journey has been used in so many stories. It's all about, you know, said person, ordinary life, nothing special, you know, goes out on this, something happens where they go out on this mission to find an answer. They meet said mentor. Mentor is, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi, whatever. I mean, it's many movies follow this, or Yoda or whatever. So many of the movies follow this storyline. They learn something, then they go, oh my God, I have the answer. And then they return back to their ordinary life to, you know, help those who have not received this answer. And so that's very much the hero's journey plot line. And so Star Wars, Batman, Game of Thrones, The Matrix, all of those movies follow it. And once you really start geeking out on storytelling, you'll start watching movies and you'll be like, oh my God, I recognize that. Like that's the hero's journey.
I think there's only like, you know, two or three like, you know, filmography types of like story themes that you, So that is
a really good book. If anyone's interested in learning more about this, it's called Save the Cat. And it's a book on screenplay writing and exactly what you said. There's really a template to movies. And there's a lot of movies that have been remade a lot of times. They're just different characters and different environments. Yeah. And
it's
once you start
like Story Brand. Have you read Story Brand? That's a good one.
It's
very similar to what you're talking about. And it actually says in the book that you'll never be able to watch movies again.
Oh my, you can't. You become this critic.
It's like, here's the exact like movie, you know, storyline. So, okay. Yeah. So you've got future pacing, hero's journey, troublemaker.
And the fourth one is the before after bridge. Which is also, if anyone's looking to get testimonials from their clients, is a really powerful formula for getting testimonials. And it's essentially describing the world that you or your client or whomever was in, you know, before, then describing this ideal world that they want to get to. Like, if only there was a, you know, without sounding that cheesy, but if only there was a thing that could help me solve this problem.
Right.
And then the bridge. So it's the before, the after, and the bridge, of course, is you or your product.
The solution, right. That actually is inside my book. Yeah. I did say, you know, I'm not a copywriter, but here's some like formulas that, you know, you can find that are just basic. So yeah, that one was my favorite one.
It's simple, right? It makes sense. Yeah.
I love that one. And yeah, so I'm glad that you brought that up. But I love the troublemaker. I love that you come up with your own names for stuff too.
That one, I got that. I have to give credit to my friend Perry Belcher, who's actually in my mastermind group, and he's one of the owners of Digital Marketer, which is one of obviously the largest digital marketing brands online.
Yes,
and yeah, and he's got this kind of, I say American accent, but it must be like accent or something.
Wait, Americans have an accent?
I know. Well, I'm Canadian. So to me, it's like, I'm sure I have an accent to everybody. But like maybe it's more of a Texan accent, right? And he, because you don't have an accent to me, but he gets on stage and he's like, everybody loves a little trouble. And I was like, that's so true. And so, you know, not being afraid. I think a lot of, when we start out, a lot of content creators are afraid of sharing kind of like the dark side mm-hmm. of what they do.
Because mm-hmm. they feel like you have to be, if you're an entrepreneur, you have to be all the answers, always right, always successful. And yeah, I mean, my best performing content has been when I have
trouble
revealed, you know, the not so, you know, positive things that have happened, which have actually helped me be a better business.
Absolutely. It's so important. It makes you more relatable too. And then people go, which is another, you know, really powerful copywriting tool is admitting flaws or imperfections early on.
Right.
Because people don't believe you're perfect. And so if you try to, you know, showcase that you are, everyone's like, I don't know about this person. And then as soon as you can go, oh my gosh, this is what happened to me. Or tell me if this has ever happened to you. I'm going through this thing right now or whatever is very, very powerful.
So random question that I usually ask folks is, and you can't say YouTube because obviously that's one of your favorites. Like, what's your favorite social platform of the moment?
I can't say YouTube.
Can't say YouTube.
I would say Instagram is still sort of my, you know, my go-to. I love it for, I mean, it's crazy how many people I actually have their phone numbers in my phone and I do them on Instagram anyway.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know if it's like the, I know you saw this, you have to get back to me, but Instagram is definitely my go-to. I've been enjoying Facebook a little bit more lately, I'll be honest. I think it was dying. It is dying, quote unquote. That sounds aggressive, but you know, obviously it is changing and a lot of people are getting off Facebook, but I still have had success with Facebook groups and getting a lot of engagement going within Facebook groups. So I think if you're rallying people around a very passionate topic, Facebook can still be a very powerful tool. But yeah, Instagram is, you know, I love it.
Now, are you a feed person or a stories person? Team feed, team stories.
You know, I love stories.
Do you? I was expecting you to say feed because you love writing.
Yeah, no, you know what's funny? I really have to push myself to put feed posts up.
Same.
I have to sort of, yeah, because I'm very much like in the moment, want to do a quick story, tell a story, do it. And even though I do love writing, and this is something I could do, to be honest, like now I'm like, oh, maybe I should be doing this, like turning my YouTube content into content that's consumable on Instagram, and it would be easy to do. And I just haven't done it.
Gotta put it on IGTV.
What's that?
Don't, we won't tell you to, but you've got to put it on IGTV because that's, they're pushing that right now.
Yeah. And I was thinking about doing that. And I think this is just where I think everyone needs to kind of listen to the evolution of their own brands. Like for me, I was like, oh, one day, once I start getting sort of the growth that I want on YouTube, then I'll start putting my content on IGTV for that audience. But in the beginning, I really wanted to grow my channel. So I was like, no, I'm just going to push all traffic to YouTube. But I 100% agree that if you can keep people in the native platform to consume content, you're winning. Like that should be the goal. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm just not following that advice at the moment.
So, I know we all don't follow our own advice. So trust me, I get it. So last question, are you on TikTok?
Oh my gosh. I knew you were going to ask that when you asked me. So I am purely for
entertainment.
Well, and you know, I'm curious about it. Same. I will say I have heard of some people getting some pretty, like people, you know, my age, like not just 12-year-olds, getting some pretty massive views. I'm still, the verdict is still out on, you know, how it can be effectively used for business. But I mean, I think it's heading in that direction because the future of marketing, I believe, is video. And it does combine a lot of the elements of Instagram and Snapchat and all of, you know, the video apps that Vine, which I don't even know if that's around anymore. And so I
sadly, it's not. Twitter bought it and then it died.
It died.
It's actually dead.
Rest in peace, Vine.
Yes. But
I do, you know, I think everyone should should be curious about it, because
it's definitely a guilty pleasure for me. I find that it brings me back to the creative side of me, which I've lost a little bit since I've been on some of the other platforms. When I was heavily into Snapchat, I had way more of that creativity. So I'm like, wow, I actually am feeling way more creative, and just even watching
the kids.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens there. But you know, I think I'm the only person using hashtag moms of TikTok, but.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing. I found out about it from my friend, an entrepreneur friend of mine who has a 9-year-old. So I think you moms of TikTok are on the cutting edge of the social media trends. So there's something there.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you so much for sharing all of your wisdom and insight. Where can everybody find you and get more of your content and follow you and learn everything that you're sharing?
Yeah, absolutely. I know we've mentioned it a few times, but my YouTube channel, just search my name on YouTube. It's the easiest way to find me. It's Alex Cattoni, C-A-T-T-O-N-I. And then I'm on Instagram as well, at Copy Posse. So that's where you'll find me. You can DM me. I'm very active. I try to respond to every single comment and DM that I get. And yeah, I mean, that's it. I have a blog, but it's not my forte. So I would say those two places.
I love it. Well, thank you so much again. And everybody, please make sure that you go subscribe to Alex's YouTube channel. You'll love her. Her energy and camera presence is awesome, but she's also dropping some really great knowledge bombs. So definitely connect with her there and follow her. I know that she'll be having some upcoming courses coming out in the beginning of next year if you're interested in more of that. She's also a speaker, so if you're looking for anybody to hire for your event, definitely reach out. And don't forget, you guys, if we're not already connected on Instagram, go over there and connect with me. I offer a free Instagram bio audit. All you have to do is let me know that you came from the podcast, send me a DM, and let me know you want your audit. Thanks, guys. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Thanks, Chelsea. Bye.